Whatever you've got the Bible on, let's open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin down here in verse 17. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to the church of Corinth, and this is his second letter to them, and he's speaking about the goodness of God in this first chapter, and the blessing of God. And he's talking about how the Lord's always faithful to him. Then he gets down here in verse 17, and he says, "Therefore, when I was planning this," whenever he was planning on coming to them and whatever, he said, "Did I do it lightly, or the things that I plan or do I plan according to the flesh?" Amen? In other words, am I making plans just according to what it feels right and what I want to do in the natural? And he says, "And with me there should be yes and yes and no, no, no." He says this. He says, "No, I want to let you know something. I didn't plan this according to the flesh. I didn't plan this just natural." And he said, "Whenever I preach the gospel to you, it's not yes, but maybe it could be no." That's what one translation says. See, a lot of times we preach and we hear the gospel and we think, well, you know, God says yes, but it could mean no in some cases. But Paul is saying here, he's saying, no, when we preach the gospel to you and we bring the truth of the word to you, it's not yes, God will heal you, but no, not always. Yes, God will save you, but not everybody. Yes, God will bless you, but you know, sometimes you don't know. No, he said God's yeses are yes and God's noes are noes. Amen? There's no in between. God always says what he means and means what he says. Hallelujah. Then he goes on and he says this, "But as God is faithful," our word to you was not yes and no. He says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us and by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes." In other words, we preach to you that Jesus is always going to be a yes to those who are seeking him. Amen? He's always going to be there for you, praise God. Then notice that he goes on down here and he says in verse 20, "For all the promises," look at that, say it with me, "For all the promises." How many of them? All of them. You mean not just some of them? No, all of them. What? "For all the promises of God in him," in Christ, "are yes, and in him, amen, and to the glory of God through us." Notice what he's saying here. He's saying that God's promises to everybody that receives this gospel of Jesus Christ and accepts Christ, not only is Jesus always yes to you, but his promises are always yes to you. Amen? And notice he said all the promises are yes to you and me who will believe, praise God. Now, what's that mean? That means that we need to quit looking at the Bible and say, well, maybe this is for me and maybe it's not. No, if it's in the Bible, it's always for us. Amen? Amen? Somebody says, "I don't know if that word is for me or not." Well, is Jesus for you? Yeah. Then his word is for you, praise God. Well, I don't know if it's the Lord's will to do this for me. Well, is the Lord for doing that? Well, yeah. Well, then it's his will to do it for you. See, you know, we've got to get to a place where we catch ourselves, because religion has taught us that we'll say, "Yes, I believe," but there's a little nagging doubt in the back, "But it might not be for me." And so what you're doing is you're saying all the promises are yes, but sometimes they might be no, because I might not merit it, or I might not this, or it might not work. But you see, God is speaking through the Apostle Paul here, and he's saying God is always for you. And God's promises are always yes and available to you through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? But then notice what he goes on and he says this. "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit as the in our hearts as the guarantee or earnest of our..." In other words, he's saying this. God has not only given us Jesus. Jesus has not only given us his promises. Now God has given us the Holy Spirit to establish these things in our life. Woo, come on, somebody should get excited about that. Hallelujah. Meaning what? When you couldn't make it work for yourself, the Holy Spirit came as God's guarantee to help you to make these things come to pass in your life. Amen. Amen? That's why we let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us, because he is the Spirit of truth. And John 16:13, Jesus said the Spirit of truth would come and guide us into all the truth and the full truth of God's word. Amen? So we look to the Holy Spirit. We look to God. And we begin to get a difference in our attitude towards God. We know that God is always for us. We know that God is always wanting to bless us. We find out that God is always wanting us to be successful and victorious. God is not wanting to put you down. God doesn't want to put a problem in your life. God doesn't want to beat you up. Amen? Right. Are you hearing me? Well, I know God is good, but sometimes He might do something. No, that's saying yes, but maybe no. Are you hearing me? And so what we've got to do as believers is we've got to come to the place that the Lord is good, and He's good all the time, just like we sang, and that the Lord has good things for us, and we can trust His promises to always be yes and amen to us if we're in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to help us to do that, then we start operating in the Spirit of God and let the Holy Ghost bring it alive and work it in our life. Amen. Now look over in Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans chapter 4, we have some more insight here. And the apostle is writing here, the apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he talks in his fourth chapter about Abraham. And he talks about how Abraham acquired the blessing of God in his life. And he gets down here, and we'll pick it up in verse 16, and he says something that you and I need to get a hold of. He says, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise..." Everybody say promise. Promise. Notice what he said in 2 Corinthians 1. He said all the promises are yes and amen. So now he says that it, therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure. Notice that, to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You know what God is saying here? He's saying every blessing that Abraham was able to get to operate in his life came to him because God spoke it to him and he received the grace of God to get it done. And he says, now if you'll step over into faith, all the promises and all the blessings and all the things God did for Abraham, God will do for you. Amen. Come on. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. And he says this, and God, here's how God wants to make this work in your life. He doesn't want it to work through you trying to keep the law, trying to get good enough. Do enough good works, and maybe God will do something good for you. No, he says, this doesn't come to you by the keeping of the law. He says, this comes through God's grace, through your faith in God's goodness for your life. Amen? In other words, God wants to get it away from you thinking you've got to get good enough to get it, to the place where you realize that God is so good, He wants you to get it. Amen? Amen. And your faith isn't in all of your ability, but your faith is in God's ability to do it for you. Yes. Come on, church. See, a lot of times the reason we're not getting healed is because we don't think we merit it yet. We haven't prayed enough. We haven't spoken enough. We haven't done enough. We haven't praised enough. We haven't been in church enough. And so, you know, if I can just press on, maybe I can get to the place where God's promise to heal me will work. Well, you're back under the law again. You're trying to get it in your works. But what Paul is saying here to the church here at Rome, he's saying, listen, God made this blessing come into Abraham's life, not through the keeping of the law, because you go on later and find out that the law didn't come until a little over 400 years later. So Abraham didn't do the law to get the blessing. The Bible says Abraham believed God. Yes. And it was accounted to him for righteous. Abraham accepted God's promise. And it started working in his life. Amen? Abraham didn't try to get good enough to receive it. Abraham let God begin to work it in his life and let God change him and transform him so he could walk in it. Amen? Yes. So now here's the thing. If you and I are going to cause the promises of God to work for us, guess what? Galatians 3:9 says that they that are of faith get blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen? So how am I going to get these promises to go from promise to blessing? And that's what I want to teach on, praise God. Because you see, it's a wonderful thing to have the promise. But promise won't put food on your table. Promise will not make you feel better tomorrow. Are you listening to me? See, until that promise becomes a blessing, it's only a promise. Come on, everybody's running right here and saying, you know what, praise God, I got the promise that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm about to die with this cold. Well, you know what, the promise is wonderful, but it's not nearly as good as having the blessing of the promise. Amen? The promise says that God's going to supply all my need according to His riches in glory. But how many of you ever, been able to pay your bills by walking up saying, here's the promise? Amen. Yo, that guy $100, you walk up and say, glory to God, here's the promise. Praise God. But anyway, he's saying this. He's saying the promise is one thing, but you need to get the blessing of the promise. Amen. Abraham got the blessing of the promise. He didn't just operate in the promise. He operated in the blessing. Praise God. So let's learn how Abraham took the promise over into the blessing. Because if he did it, you and I can do it. Amen. We can take any promise of God in His Bible and take it from the promise to the blessing operating in our life if we learn how to release our faith the same way that Abraham released his faith. Amen? So let's give you five quick steps that are going to help you to get your faith operating, to turn the promise into a blessing. To turn the promise of healing into healing. Turn the promise of prosperity into prosperity. Turn the promise of peace into peace. Turn the promise of victory into victory in your life. Amen? Because I'll be really honest with you, I would much rather have the blessing than just the promise. Amen. How many of you ever been able to spend a promissory note? Somebody owes you $100 and they write you, I promise to pay you. 100. Guess what? You can't spend that. Not until it gets paid, then you get the blessing of that note, and then you can go do what you need to do. Amen? So God wants us to go beyond just having His promise to having the blessing of His promise operating in our life. Amen. So the first thing we find here, we jump down here to verse 17. And it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of Him whom he believed, God, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What's the very first step if you're going to walk in the blessing and get the blessing and have the kind of faith that Abraham had? You must have a promise from God. Everything starts from a promise from God. And your promise has to come from the written word of God. Notice he says, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. See, a lot of us, the problem with us is this. If you know, you come up and you say, you know, I'm praying and believing God for such and such. And I say, that's great. What promise are you standing on? Well, I'm standing on the Bible. Well, guess what? You can stand all day on the Bible and you ain't going to get anything because you haven't found a word from God yet that gives you the answer to what you need. Before you ever pray for God to do something for you, you should ask the Lord to show you a promise in His Word that you can stand on and believe Him for. Amen? Brother Hagin used to say it like this. He said there'd be people in the line. He said, what are you praying for? And they'd tell him what they was praying for. And he said, what scripture are you standing on? He said, oh, none in particular. And he said, my response would be, then that's probably what you'll get, nothing in particular. Amen. See, Abraham based everything that he was going to do on God's written word, God's promise that what God said He would do for him. Amen? And God spoke the written word to him, and God called those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God said, here's what I'm going to do for you, and here's how I'm going to get you there. And Abraham accepted that word from God as a promise from God and stepped out in faith on that promise. So the first thing you need to do if you're going to walk in victory is this. You need to find you a promise in God's Word that gives you the right to have what you're believing God for. Amen? And let the Holy Spirit lead you to that. And I want to tell you something, folks. Don't let anybody talk you out of the promise that God gives you. I've had over the years, and I've been in this a number of years, praise God. But I've been over a number of years. I remember one time in particular, I was talking to this brother in the Lord, and he said, you know, I'm believing God for such and such. I said, really? He said, yes. I thought, well, praise God. And I thought about two or three scriptures that promised that. And he said, in fact, the Lord gave me a scripture. I said, well, that's really good. What did He give you? And he turned over to the Old Testament and read a scripture that didn't have anything to do at all with what he's believing for. And I looked at him and he said, see, right here it says this. And it had one word in there that covered his situation out of an entire scripture. And I looked at him, and I started to say, brother, that one. And the Lord said, shut up. He said, I gave him that scripture. Don't you judge it as good or bad. He said, it ain't between you and him. It's between him and me. And he said, if he can believe me for his miracle on that scripture, you leave him alone. I thought, okay. So I just stepped back and thought, well, praise God. It wouldn't have been the scripture I would have chose, but if God gave it to you, hallelujah. A couple of weeks later, he showed up and he had a testimony. He said, God did it. Hallelujah. That scripture worked for me. I went, hallelujah. I believe in miracles. Glory to God. Amen. So you see, if God leads you to stand on a verse, don't let somebody talk you out of it. Amen. In fact, if God takes half a verse in one place and half another out of another and puts them together and tells you to stand on it, stand on it. Hallelujah. But make sure God gave it to you. Remember, God spoke this to Abram. Amen. And he told him what to do. And I'll be real honest with you. When God told Abraham to leave his family and go out to a place he didn't know where he's going, and he was going to make him a father of many nations, that's pretty wild, isn't it? Amen. But he had a word from God to stand on. So find you a promise, because God's promise spoken to you is a yes. Number two is found in verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Now listen, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. What's the second thing you need to do? God's written promise needs to become a spoken promise to you. God's written promise in the Bible needs to jump off of that page and speak to you and say, this is for you. It needs to become something speaking into your life. Amen. In other words, you need to get into the Word and let God give you a scripture to stand on, and then meditate on that scripture and think on that scripture and memorize that scripture and feed that scripture into your heart until that verse begins to talk to you, begins to speak to you, begins to encourage you. Praise God. Amen. Remember over in John chapter 8, verses 30, 31, 32, the Bible says that while Jesus spoke these words, many believed on him. Well, thank God. You know, they believed according to the word that he was the Messiah. And so they've got a relationship with him now. But you know what the Lord said to those same believers? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And listen, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what Jesus said to them? He said, now you really want to walk in victory? It's one thing to believe the Lord, but it's another thing to get his promise and stay with that promise until it begins to speak truth into your life. Are you hearing me? See, the reason a lot of us are not walking in faith is we haven't stayed in the Word long enough for it to begin to talk to us. It needs to speak. You need to hear it in your mind. You need to hear it talking to your heart. In fact, I've been dealing with something, and I've been working it and fixing it and trying to get some stuff done. And even before I came over here, I was actually listening to a message by another minister, and so he was talking about some things, and he spoke a scripture. And you know what? I went in my study and opened up and say over to in the Amplified, and I went right over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and he says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety and all your worries once and for all over upon the Lord, for he cares for you affectionately, watches over you. And I thought, it just spoke to me. God, I've been trying to fix this myself, I've been carrying around, trying to make it. I thought, what is wrong with me? Amen. Guess what? I couldn't get victory over that just because I had the written word, but all of a sudden, it spoke to me. And you know what? It told me what to do. Hallelujah. You know, God's written word will speak to you, and you can hear it talking to you. And when it does, it'll cause faith to rise up in you like everything. Amen? Hallelujah. So you see, you and I, if we want to walk in the faith that Abraham walked in, we have to stay in the Word until that Word jumps off the page and begins to talk to you and begins to be a voice in your head and in your heart and begins to share with you, here's what you need to do if you want to walk in victory. Amen? And then you act upon it, praise God. Remember over in Proverbs 29:18 where he said, where there's no vision, the people perish. That word vision there also means sight or revelation. You know what he's saying there? He said, when you can't see it, and when it's not real to you, you'll perish. You'll be brought to ruin. The New King James says, you'll cast off restraints. In other words, you won't know how to walk like you need to walk until that word becomes sight or vision or voice speaking into you what God wants to do in your life. Amen? So a lot of times the reason our faith isn't working, we're not getting the victory, is because we can hear everything else except God's word. So I would say right now, what is the dominant voice that's speaking to you in this situation? Is the problem talking louder than God's word? Then get back in the word. You're not ready to step out in faith yet. You need to meditate in the word and dwell in the word and stay in the word until the word becomes the loudest voice in your head. Amen? And then when that word begins to speak to you, it causes faith to rise up on the inside of you. And this is the thing. When the word becomes the dominant truth, the word begins to direct your life. Amen? It changes your attitudes, changes your confession, changes your actions, changes everything about you, because that's what Abraham did. Abraham got a hold of this word, praise God, and he began to stand on that word, and he began to praise God for it. In fact, he says, in contrary to hope, he still had hope. What was he saying? Hope is your expectation. Why do you have to have that word alive and speaking in your life? Because there are going to be times, folks, that it looks bad. Are you hearing me? There are going to be times when you're believing God that all hope of things around you, there's nothing going to give you hope. Anybody ever been there besides me? It looks hopeless naturally. So when that's looking hopeless and it doesn't look like it's working, guess what? Abraham's hope was not based upon what it looked like or what it felt like. His hope was based upon what God was speaking to him in his word. Amen? And so therefore, because the word was the dominant voice in Abraham's heart, Abraham, when he looked out and couldn't see anything, still believed that God was going to do for him what he said he would do. Amen? Still believed the promise. Why? Because the promise was more real to him than the problem. Hallelujah. Now let's read on. Let's look at step three. Step three is found in verse 19. And he says right here, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice what he says right here. Abraham considered not. The word considered means to give full attention to. So what did Abraham do? Instead of looking all the time at the problem, and still looking all the time at the need, he did what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. He walked by faith and not by sight. Amen. How many of you ever been there where everything is telling you it ain't working? You ever prayed for somebody and they got worse? I'm not talking about sick. I'm talking about nasty. Huh? I remember I told a lady one time her husband was just being mean as everything. It's probably about 30 years ago. And so I said, well, you just need to pray and just let's bind the devil and let's just claim his salvation. And so I talked to her about a week later and I said, you still believe in God with me? She goes, no. I said, what do you mean no? She said, I'm telling you what, we got done praying. That next day, he's meaner than the devil. So I just thought, devil, you can have him if that's what I'm going to put up with. And I said, don't do that. I said, you done grown weak in faith. Hallelujah. You done consider the problem more than the word. We got to get back in the word. Hallelujah. So I finally talked to her about getting back into the promise of God and getting in the word. And we agreed again. And about 3 weeks later, he came to the altar and gave his heart to the Lord. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. So you see, here's the problem, folks. Normally, when it gets worse, it means it's about to get better. Well, I'm going to say it again. Are you listening or are you done gone home? Usually, when it gets worse, it means it's about to get better. You ever read over in the Bible that when Jesus would cast a demon out of somebody, it'd scream and tear the person before it left? Looked like it got worse before it got better, didn't it? But then he'd leave and the person would be set free. So you see, sometimes whenever there's a whole lot of screaming and fighting and fitting going on, it's the devil trying to talk you out of your faith so he can stay where he's at. So you know what you need to do? You just need to stand your ground till the wind blows through, and then praise God you have peace and calm. Hallelujah. So you see, the thing that Abraham did was this. He didn't deny the problem. He didn't deny his age. He didn't deny the barrenness of his wife. He didn't deny that what God had said hadn't came to pass yet. He wasn't saying it's not there. He was just saying, I see it, but it's not going to control what I believe, what I speak, or how I act. Amen. I'm not going to get depressed. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to act like it doesn't work. God, I don't care what I see. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people are saying. God, I've got your promise on it. And your promise is yes and amen to me. Amen. I believe it shall be as you said. So step number three, sometimes you have to walk by faith right through that thing and not by sight. Number four, step number four is found here in verse 20. Listen to what he says. He says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. Now, what's he saying? He's saying this, there are times, folks, that unbelief is going to try to come in and get you to doubt God. So what are you going to do in those times? You're not going to stop and think about it and ask God again. What you're going to do is you're going to strengthen your faith and begin to praise God and thank him for the answer. Amen? Did you hear me? The fifth thing the fourth thing that Abraham did was this. He strengthened his faith by giving glory to God. He didn't stagger the promise of God. The devil will come in a lot of times and say, you don't really think that's going to happen, do you? Brother Hagin talks about his brother that was, out in the world and lost. And he said, he never thought about praying for him. But he said one day while he was praying, he said, the Lord said, why don't you break the power off of your brother, and called his name, and said, claim his salvation and I'll save him. And he said, I'd prayed and fasted for my brother for years. And he said, had no results whatsoever. He said, but I had a word from God. I had a promise from God. God had spoken in my heart. And he said, so instead of wavering at that or doubting that and thinking, well, it might not work. He said, you know what I did? He said, I just stopped and said, Lord, I'm going to act on your word. You said in Matthew 18, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will loose in heaven. So I bind the devil away from my brother and called his name out and said, I loose him from that deception and I claim his salvation now in Jesus' name and call it done. Amen. And he said, I'd had a word from God. And he said, I based it on Matthew 18. And he said, God gave me that scripture to stand on. And so he said, as far as I'm concerned, it's done. And he said, he's going along. And he said, a couple of days later, he said, I was praising God, getting ready for service. He said, the devil came along and said, now, you don't really think old so-and-so is going to get saved, do you? He said, that thought hit his mind. Anybody ever been there? You don't really think that's going to happen, do you? You don't really think you're going to get that, do you? See, that's the devil. That's unbelief trying to come in and talk to you. At this moment in time, who has the strongest voice? God's word or the devil's doubt? Amen? If that word is a spoken word to you, guess what happened? You'll do the same thing Brother Hagin did. He said, I stopped there and recognized where that thought was coming from and said, no, Mr. Devil, I don't think he's going to get saved. Never did think he's going to get saved. I don't think he's ever going to get saved. I know he's going to get saved because I done bound you away from him and claimed a salvation. And right now the Lord's working on his heart and it's just a matter of time. Hallelujah. He said within a couple of weeks his brother got saved. Praise God. Amen. Somebody says, I wish it had worked for me. It don't work by wishing. It works by getting in faith, getting before God, getting a promise from God, letting that promise speak to you, then taking your stand on that promise, refusing to waver when it gets bad, refusing to doubt when things come at you, and then acting like God's word will come to pass for you. Amen. See, a lot of times when we get in trouble like that, instead of standing on the word and giving glory to God and praising God and confessing that it's working, what we do is stop and go back and pray again. And you know what happens when you stop and go back and pray again? You're saying that God didn't hear you the first time, and that means you really don't believe it was working anyway, and so you get right back in unbelief and then you get defeated. Abraham, whenever he was attacked and the enemy came in and questioned the promise of God and questioned God's ability and questioned whether it was ever going to happen, Abraham didn't go back and ask God if God would really do that for him. You know what it says he was? He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, I started this thing. I'm going to stay with it till it happens. Praise God. I'm not coming off of this thing. And I want to tell you something, folks. If you're needing healing in your body, you cannot keep praying over and over and over again every time some symptom shows up for God to heal you. You got to get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit give you a scripture to stand on and stay on that scripture until it speaks into your heart and it becomes truth to you. It becomes the dominant truth to you. Then you take your stand, and when the enemy's hitting you with all these things, you say, I know there's pain. I know there's symptoms. I know all this stuff. And Mr. Devil, I know it's all coming from you. But I also know that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and I've taken my stand. I'm believing God, and I'm not going to waver. I'm not coming off of this thing. I'm going to strengthen my faith, but right now, instead of questioning God, I'm going to give God the glory because it's working in my life. Hallelujah. And you just stand your ground, you praise God, and you worship Him. And you do that even if you're, you know, believing God for anything. It works. Faith works the same way in every area. Bonnie and I, you know, we didn't know a whole lot of this, but we were just, you know, married, and we were going to college there, and she was trying to get a part-time job, and I was doing football and doing school and all this stuff. And it came down on a Friday evening. I've told the story before that we had, you know, 2 slices of bologna and 4 slices of bread in our house, our little apartment there on the campus. And we didn't know where we was going to get any food. And so we went ahead and fixed us a bologna sandwich and got us a glass of water. And we sat down and said, Lord, our eyes are upon you. Our faith is in you. We don't know where it's coming from. We just believe you're going to take care of us. We believe we're where you're supposed to be. And God, we just ask you to bless our food. And we receive it in thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And we ate our sandwich. There were no fixings with it. It was bologna on sandwich. Amen. And I can remember we ate that, and we praised the Lord. And you know what? We got up and was doing some stuff, and this is a Friday evening, and we have no idea where anything's coming from. We don't have any money. We don't have any way of getting out and doing anything. And so we just prayed, and we were worshiping God, and actually started, you know, we took a little time. I was reading the Word, and it wasn't an hour later that we heard a knock on the door. Bonnie went over, and there was her sisters had come down to visit us over the weekend, and there stood 4 of them, and 3 of them had a bag of groceries in their hands. And now, normally, I wouldn't want all of my sister-in-laws to show up at once, but those bags of groceries looked so good, I let them all in. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, they came in and filled our cabinets with groceries and fixed a big meal. And we didn't say a word to them about us not having any food or not knowing how we were going to make it. But they gave us enough food to last us for a week. And we didn't even know they were coming. We just prayed and stood on the promise of God and said, Lord, we're not giving up on you. We're never going to quit. We're not backing off. We're not going to backslide. We're not walking away. We're just going to believe you. Wasn't too bad for you, a couple of young Baptists, was it? Amen. And you know what? God moved and met our need and took care of us. Hallelujah. And we began at an early age to do this. And we hadn't read these things. We hadn't learned these things from a teacher yet. But the Holy Spirit will take you through the steps of faith if you'll listen to Him. Amen? He's come to guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit was leading us and He was working with us. And we just did these same things. Praise God. And now look what the last step is here. In the step number 5 is verses 21 and 22. Listen to what he says. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. No, the final thing is this. You have to just stay totally committed and convinced and persuaded in your heart that God is going to do it for you. God's going to do it for you. I remember Brother Hagin telling the story. He said, you know, he told a fellow one time, he told the devil this. He said, I was praying and believing God. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, if they threaten to take me out and tie me to a tree and beat me all night long, I'd still look at him and say, no, I believe it's so. In Jesus' name, it'll happen in my life. Hallelujah. He said, you got to get so convinced and so convicted in your heart that nobody or anything can convince you otherwise that God is not going to come through for you. Amen. You got to believe that God's going to be there and He's going to watch over His Word and perform it in your life and be so convinced that nothing can cause you to stop believing God. Nothing's going to keep me out of God's presence. Nothing's going to keep me away from the Lord. Nothing's going to keep me from praising God. Amen? I don't care how bad I feel. I don't care how bad it looks, Lord. I'm going to pray through. And if I mess up, I'm not going to lay there in my mess up and feel sorry for myself and condemn myself, because I'm going to get back out of works. I'm going to confess my sin to God. I'm going to ask Him to forgive me. And I'm going to get up and receive His grace. Amen. Because this is all through His grace that's working anyway. Amen. And I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me for thinking I can make it happen in myself, because my faith isn't in my power to make this come to pass. My faith is in Your power to make this come to pass. And so I'm going to praise You, Lord, all the way through to the victory. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, shouldn't I pray again? Why? Abraham didn't pray again. Abraham just praised God. When it got bad, he just started praising God. He confessed the word. He just gave glory to God. And if it worked for him, it'll work for you and me. Amen? So whatever you're facing right now, the first question I ask you is this: what promise from God's Bible do you have that you're standing on? Amen? You see, I know that I'm saved, and I don't know that I'm saved because I feel like I'm saved tonight. I don't know that I'm saved because I've been going to church all these years. You know why I know I'm saved? I've got Scripture to stand on. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for my sins and God raised Him from the dead, and I confess Him as my Lord, then I am saved. Amen? And Romans 10, 13 says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I've called on His name. I believe that He died for my sins. God raised Him from the dead. I've confessed Him as my Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't get that out of me. You cannot cause me to ever doubt that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I'm saved on my bad days as well as my good days. Amen. Amen. Don't look at me in that shocked expression. Preachers have bad days just like everybody else. Amen. And you have to work through it. You have to just stand. There are times the enemy's coming in. You just have to know that, you know, I know that I'm saved. Listen, in your worst moment, why do you know you're saved? Because you've got God's word on it.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Helper, dwells on the inside. How do you know? Because you speak in tongues? No, because Acts 2:4 says, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Spirit, and you'll speak in tongues. And Acts 1:8 says, and the power of God will come on you after you receive it. And I know that because Acts 1:8 and Acts 2:4, I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't talk me out of it. Why? I've experienced the Word. And a man or a woman who has experienced God through His Word is never at the mercy of someone with an argument that it don't work.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I deal with stuff all the time physically. I'm 65 and act like I'm 18. And sometimes it shows up into my joints. Anybody besides me ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. You're going, what happened to my knee? And why didn't it get better in 30 seconds? Because you're not 30 anymore. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me or anything wrong with God. It just means that I need to realize He renews my strength. See, Psalm 103, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 talks about there, He renews your strength and meets your need and necessities at your age.
Yes, hallelujah.
And so you know what I do? I don't doubt that God is my healer. Why? Because I got the healing verses of God in my spirit. And I know He's my healer. So you know what I do? I just say, Lord, thank You. You know, if it takes you an extra day because I'm now in my 60s and not my 20s, that's okay. I'll just gives me another day to praise You. Hallelujah. How do you know you're going to get healed? I believe that God watches over His word to perform it. And I'm letting His word be the loudest voice in my life. How do you know God's going to meet your need? Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it don't matter what age you are, whether you're young or older, that is a word that you need to get in your spirit and let it speak to you, so that whenever you're facing a challenge, you know that God is able to perform what He said He would do. Amen. So what are you facing? Whatever you're facing, don't face it without a scripture. And take that scripture, put it in your heart, and let it begin to talk to you. So that when the enemy's voice begins to speak to you, the Spirit of God uses that word and speaks to you. And let God's voice be the loudest voice and follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's how Abraham got what God said he could have. And that's how you and I can get what God said you and I can have. Amen?